Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, we're going to jump out to the Toilet of Hollywood hotline right now. We're going to talk to Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com, brought to you by Bud Light, official sponsor of the Miami Dolphins this football season. Keep it crisp with Bud Light. Please drink responsibly. Mike, let's get right to the hottest topic. Dak Prescott said they're going to peak at the right time, right? That's what we need to get to?
Yeah, absolutely. That's all anyone wants to talk about today is the
Cowboys, right?
Getting their act together. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you saw it, and you're probably like us. You've seen it already like 1,000 times between last night and this morning. Slow motion, breaking every part of it down. How bad is it going to be for Myles Garrett?
I think it's at least going to be the rest of the season, right? That seems to be something that most people have, at a minimum, gotten behind. The question is, how far does it extend beyond the end of the season? Is it something that would spill over into 2020? You can make the argument that a 10-game or a 12-game suspension. Vontaze Burfict was suspended 12 games for a chronic pattern of violating the rules, but never doing anything like this. Could you imagine what they would have done to Vontaze Burfict if he had done something like this?
Oh, my God.
And the other thing about Garrett, Garrett's got a bit of a history here. He had multiple roughing the passer fouls and fines early in the year to the point where if it had continued, he would have been susceptible to a suspension for that. And that's part of the overall picture that the NFL looks at. So, look, we've never seen something like this happen before. We've seen helmets swing. Richie Incognito did it once, but he didn't make contact with anyone. And I remember thinking at the time, my God, if that helmet had hit somebody, what would have happened to the guy that it struck? And last night we finally saw it happen, where a guy got hit in the head with his own helmet. And Myles Garrett and the NFL are very fortunate that Mason Rudolph did not collapse in a heap like he did 6 weeks ago when he got hit helmet-to-helmet by Earl Thomas and collapsed in a heap unconscious. If that had happened, I think that Myles Garrett ends up being gone for at least a calendar year, and I think that he potentially gets prosecuted for assault. And, you know, a lot of people can't process the idea that the rules of society are not suspended when you walk onto a football field. But there are things that can happen on a football field that are far and away beyond the limits of what should be tolerated. And taking a guy's helmet off and hitting him in the head with it is no different than bringing a baseball bat out there or some other weapon. And if there had been any type of significant injury to Mason Rudolph, I would have been at the front of the line saying that this guy should be prosecuted for what he did.
Mike, the other part of this that's come out, I was surprised overnight I heard it, and then this morning now we're getting it on text messages. Well, Mason Rudolph started it. He kicked Myles Garrett in the packet. Yeah, oh, God. Could he get any kind of fine that people saying he instigated this thing?
Well, look, it's two different issues. Did Mason Rudolph violate the rules in a manner that would justify league discipline? Okay, and they'll look at the tape and they'll make a decision, and he could be fined, he could be suspended a game, Marquise Pouncey could be fined, he could be suspended. The question the NFL has to ask itself, though, is what kind of a message does it want to send? Is this going to be something that comes across as the run-of-the-mill brawl where multiple guys get fined and suspended, or do they want the focus of the discipline to be Myles Garrett? Do they want the message that comes out of this to be Myles Garrett's conduct was completely and totally unacceptable, it's never happened before, it can never happen again, and you potentially dilute that message if the headline is three players suspended for brawl in Brown-Steelers game? The best way to send the message that this using someone's helmet as a weapon against them, the only way, the best way to send that message is to only suspend Myles Garrett.
What about Pouncey coming in at the end, trying to, you know, obviously standing up for his own guy? But, I mean, we counted this morning, five, six punches, seven punches, a kick. Like, that's what the NFL's going to look at.
Well, right, but Myles Garrett's got his helmet on. I never understand why a guy swings his fist at a guy with a helmet on.
Right.
You're just going to break your hand, right? So, I mean, Garrett's got his helmet on, unlike Rudolph, who had his helmet off. And I think Pouncey's going to be punished. And maybe he will be suspended. But you know what? If I'm Pouncey's agent or lawyer or union rep, my argument is he just witnessed his quarterback get struck in the head with his own helmet. He doesn't know that his quarterback's right. Fine. Right? How do you expect, you know, it's one thing to say we expect these guys to flip the switch off, and we do. And if you can't do it, you're not fit to play professional football. Now, what we argued today on PFT Live about the idea that it's such an inherently violent and stressful game that sometimes this happens. Well, there's plenty of stressful jobs out there. And if you can't handle the stress of the job and you are going to cross that line, you shouldn't be working in that job. But for Pouncey to be put in a situation where he sees his quarterback struck in the head with his own helmet, I think that, and I, you know, and again, it doesn't. Two wrongs don't make a right. Three wrongs don't make a right. But it's easier for me to do the mental gymnastics on justifying what Pouncey did as a reaction to what Garrett did than justifying what Garrett did as a reaction to what Rudolph did.
Mike, the other part kind of lost is we had a lot of helmet to helmet last night, to which the league. Be a lot of fines just coming from the regular part of that game last night. Some real high hits that they didn't look accidental to me. I don't know what you saw more than once. What was your take?
I got a text from a high-level individual with another team. I got to get the person anonymity because it's the kind of thing if they attach their name to it, they'd have issues with the league office. But the opinion that was expressed to me was that the Browns should be fined $5 million. The coach should be fined $500,000, that what played out last night had the feel of a bounty game, and at a minimum the league should investigate to see what was said to these guys before the game because there were multiple illegal hits. There was an ejection. A guy was bleeding out of his ear, right? Juju Smith-Schuster yep. got blown up earlier in the game. How much of this – and I remember earlier this year the Browns – they had a joint practice with the Colts, and there was this bluster about we have to show them we're not afraid of them. How much of that Greg Williams-style talk filtered into the locker room and onto the practice field and fueled what happened last night? And, you know, sometimes, you know, even though you can't foresee a guy blowing a gasket the way Myles Garrett did, sometimes if you crank him up enough, you don't know what's going to happen. Yeah. And if you crank him up, you're stuck with the consequences of whatever he does.
Old Freddie Kitchens had to answer. He was upset, I guess, last night. Didn't like all the – nobody gets more penalties than his team to start with. They're not very well coached. And he was getting a little fired up last night when asked. He goes, you think I like all these penalties? I don't know, but you're the head guy, and they keep happening.
Yeah, but he's new at this. Cut him some slack. He said that before. He's new at it. And, you know, we've talked about this before, the idea that he never was groomed to be a head coach. Tony Dungy told me a couple of weeks ago that when he was in Minnesota with Dennis Green, for 4 years he was groomed to be a head coach. And when he became a head coach, he still didn't feel like he knew what he was doing. Freddie Kitchens got thrust into this thing. He was minding his own business as a running backs coach last year. Nobody had flagged him as a future head coach. Nobody was grooming him. He wasn't grooming himself. He still looks ungroomed. So, I think that has a lot to do with it. This is an undisciplined team. There are players on that team who, you know, who have that edge to them. And let me just say this. When we get to the scouting combine in February and the stories come out about the ridiculous questions that are asked of players and the stressful situations they're put in to see how they react, this is all part of the effort of screening out which guys can handle the pressure and stress that happens on game day and which guys are going to be the ones who are likely to rip an opponent's helmet off and hit him over the head with it. That's why they do it. And I'm not saying that condones some of the questions that are asked that are inappropriate, but this is why they try to get under their skin. They want to know what they're going to have on their practice field, in their locker room, and more importantly, on the football field. And is this a guy who can compartmentalize the pressure and stress of playing football from when you have to turn it off and not assault someone after the whistle is blown?
It got top billing earlier in the week. I can't believe it's now second fiddle. Colin Kaepernick going to have a workout tomorrow. And, what, 11 teams reportedly going to be there. And now Joe Philbin and Hugh Jackson are going to be running the show there. If this doesn't scream circus, I'm not sure what does.
Yeah, hey, it's fitting for a quarterback who's never going to get back in the league to be managed by coaches who are never going to get back in the league either, right?
It's a great point. It's a great point.
This thing, to me, every time I think the NFL has found the ultimate way to trip over its own 2 feet, it finds another way to do it that is even more entertaining and more confounding. The Colin Kaepernick story was over. His agent a few weeks back issued a memo that attacked all of the various false narratives that have been out there about Kaepernick for the last 2.5 years. It barely registered on the radar screen. Everyone had moved on from Colin Kaepernick. Yeah, I would make the argument every once in a while that he should be getting fair consideration. But you know, I'm shouting into a vacuum. No one cares. For the league, once the problem is over, to say we're going to set up this workout and you know, we're doing this because we, you know, we feel bad or whatever the justification is. Look, if you really want to get the guy back in the league, or if you want to get him a fair chance to get back in the league, you don't have this dog and pony show workout. You pick up the phone and you start twisting arms and you start doing deals like they did when Michael Sam was cut by the Rams in 2014. They got on the phone, according to Peter King, and they found someone to sign up to the practice squad because they didn't want the first openly gay NFL player to be cut from the Rams and wash out of the league that quickly. They can do that. They can get him a workout. That's the biggest problem I have with this, the idea that they're going to have a workout and every team's invited. Any team could invite him to go to a workout at their facility anytime they want. Last Tuesday, 39 guys had workouts, right? And it's been almost 3 years, not a single team has had Colin Kaepernick in for a workout. So I'm surprised 11 are going to this. Anybody that wants to see what he can do just has to buy him a plane ticket and say, show up tomorrow and we'll see what you can do.
Is that because no team wants to admit having Colin Kaepernick at their own facility? Is that what's happening here?
I think that's part of it. But, you know, one of the reports came out this week, and you know, I'm very skeptical of the NFL Network reporting on this because, number one, they can't criticize the league, and number two, they're kind of part of the messaging. They're essentially state media, and I hope people realize that. But they reported that teams had been calling the league office to basically inquire about Colin Kaepernick's status. Well, you know what that tells me? That tells me that these teams believe that they must defer to whatever the league wants when it comes to Colin Kaepernick, and there's a belief among the teams that the league doesn't want Colin Kaepernick to play, because otherwise you bring him in for a workout and you sign him and you never give it a second thought. Do you think teams call up to say, hey, Tyree Jackson, you know, we're bringing him in for a workout like someone did 10 days ago. Is that okay that we bring in Tyree? Is he okay? Is it okay? And just the fact that that was happening, it's not direct evidence of collusion, but it's evidence of collusion, because any team that would call the league to see what a guy's status is before bringing him in for a workout, when his status is, he's free and clear for anyone to sign. It's amazing to me. The fact that they're even doing this underscores that they have wronged Colin Kaepernick. And you know what? If a team signs him out of this workout, that just provides further evidence that it's wrong that he's been kept out of the league. Like, if somebody has this moment, like, oh my gosh, we had no idea. Well, why didn't you have any idea? All you had to do was bring him in, and he would have done for you at your facility what he did for the 11 teams that showed up in Atlanta.
But, Mike, isn't this look really bad for the league? Like you said, either way, they're going to get blasted. I mean, this is like, why now? Why the timing? Why on a Saturday? How many decision makers are actually going to be at this? Or is it going to be the token area scout? I mean, it's just, you know, and sending the video out of him throwing in his interviews at Joe.
Send the video.
Yeah.
They do that all the time. Videos get sent to teams all the time of guys working out. That's how they get teams' attention. Look, I think what happened here is that somebody in the league office, probably Jeff Pasch, the NFL's general counsel, has gotten worried about the possibility of a second Colin Kaepernick lawsuit. And the argument would be that now he's the victim not only of collusion among the teams deciding at the direction of the league not to give him an opportunity, but also there's an element of retaliation because he filed the prior lawsuit. He reportedly received between $1 and $10 million. Now they're definitely not bringing him back. And there are people out there say, well, why would any employer bring someone back who sued them? Well, no one would want to do it, but you know what? The law requires you to not hold it against them. So I think that the NFL is worried that lawsuit number two is coming, that lawsuit number two will be even better and stronger than lawsuit number one. And this is their clumsy way of engaging him in a chess match. This is legal engineering of an effort to try to put him in a box. Maybe they're hoping he would say, I'm not coming, right? This is a sham. He's going to do it. He's going through with it. So he's playing chess with them as well. But I think this is about the league's PR and or legal interests. This has nothing to do with the league helping Colin Kaepernick get a job. Because as I said, if they really wanted to do that, you pick up the phone, you have a conversation in the back channels, off the grid, the commissioner makes a deal with someone to give Colin Kaepernick a workout or to give Colin Kaepernick a contract.
Hey, real quickly, I know we're keeping you a little bit later, Mike, and I hope we're not messing your Friday up, but Antonio Brown, does he play in the NFL again?
This year, I didn't hear anything about what happened at the hearing, at the meeting, whatever it was, the interview that they did with Antonio Brown yesterday. I based upon his social media tirades, I'd be stunned if he had a very cogent and calm and informative and cooperative session. At some point, they probably got under his skin, would be my guess. And look, I feel badly for him because there are plenty of people who are very good liars. There also are some people who just don't communicate the truth very effectively. And I think Antonio Brown has a chance of falling into that category. And, you know, they met for 10 hours with his accuser. Here's the bottom line. She alleges that he raped her. And even though she didn't go to the cops, she's making the allegation. She's made it in civil court. Her name is out in the open. If they do the investigation and they come to the conclusion under a standard of evidence far lower than proof beyond a reasonable doubt, which is necessary to put someone in jail, if they decide under that reduced standard that he committed rape, how can he ever play again? What would we think? You know, well, could you imagine the statement from the league? We have come to the conclusion that Antonio Brown committed rape. He's suspended 6 games. No. If they believe that, I don't think he can ever play in the league again. So I hope he realizes how high the stakes are here. I'd be surprised if he plays again this season, because all they have to do now is kick the can for another month and a half before they make a decision, and they're free and clear of 2019, because nobody's going to touch him until they resolve this investigation.
Mike, have a great Friday. Thank you very much for the
strong
time,
today,
always.
Mike. Thank you, buddy. Have a good weekend.
Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com, brought to you by Bud Light, official sponsor of the Miami Dolphins. This football season, keep it crisp with Bud Light. Please drink responsibly.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.